Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Luke chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 6 and Luke chapter 5. And we're in a series, if you haven't been here, called The Armor of God. And we've been looking at Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18 about the armor of God. And going through each one and finding out how each one works in our life and how we can apply it to our life and how we need the armor of God every day. And by the way, we're going to get to this, you know, in this series, but about the Word of God, I forgot to mention that our new devotionals have came in, and Betty has those for December, January, and February, and she has those at the back, so be sure and get yours. And if you want to give some to family, friends, coworkers, take as many as you want, because we always have lots of them left over. We have to order 250 of these at one time, so we have plenty. So please pass them around. Get them into people's hands so the Word will get in them. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, this is our the passage of Scripture that we've been studying for several weeks now. And so I want to start with verse 10. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." And everybody say amen to that. Amen. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your kids. It's not, you know, anybody else, your family. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We studied about that last Sunday. And then it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Everybody say, take up the shield of faith. Okay, this is something you don't wear. This is something you're going to have to take up. You're going to have to pick it up, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, I want to explain to you whenever the Apostle Paul said, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, a lot of us think, you know, if you ever seen any of the Roman movies, you know, the movies of them fighting and stuff like that, we always think that it was a little circle shield or the Viking stuff. But it was actually what the Roman shield was, the true Roman shield. So I just want you to know, these guys were pretty buff. These guys were pretty strong to carry these things around. But the shield was actually 2.5 feet wide by 4 feet long. So it was shaped like a door, basically, and it would cover the entire man's body, the Roman soldier. And in battle, when they would go into battle, whoever they were fighting, back in those days, they would shoot what they called flaming arrows, or that actually hurl what they called javelins, and they would put pitch on the end of it, light it on fire, and throw it. And so really, it wasn't even, if they killed somebody, great, that was a plus. But really, it was a distraction. So when it hit those shields, or it hit somebody, that pitch would go everywhere, and it'd cause all kinds of fires, and it actually caused a distraction. So it relates to our life. The enemy is throwing darts at us, or javelins, or flaming arrows, trying to create distractions in our life. And that's what the Apostle Paul was referring to. And before battle, these guys, not only were these shields heavy, but before battle, they would take them and put them in a tank or a water trough or whatever, and they would soak their shields in water before they went into battle. Usually their shields were made out of wood, then covered around the sides with iron, and then an iron deal in the middle, and then they put on calf hide onto their shield, so that would soak up water so that when they went into battle, those shields would actually quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. And then the other thing that I found interesting when I was studying about the shield of faith is that they made these shields where they actually had hooks on the side where they could link up together with another soldier and make a formation. And here's what their formation was called. When they said turtle, that meant to make the formation of a turtle. They learn this from nature, from turtles with their shells. And so they Romans were the ones that created the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think. They were the ones that said, turtle power. And there's your joke for the day. All right. But I thought that was very interesting that they learned that from the turtle. Ephesians 6, verse 16 is the one that we're going to focus on today. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish. So your shield of faith is your fire extinguisher. That's your fire extinguisher against the enemy. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. And Hebrews 11, 1, we're going to talk about faith for just a second. Hebrews 11, 1, and I want you to realize it's not just saying that I have faith in God. Faith has to be active. It's got to be doing something. James said faith without works is dead. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, it says that the just shall live by faith. Faith needs to be your lifestyle. It's not just what you do on Sunday mornings and coming to church and that's my faith. Faith is every day of the week. I'm walking by faith. I'm living out my faith before God. My whole life is worshiping God. So faith, what faith is, Hebrews 11, 1 says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith is acting like God is telling the truth, because he is. God cannot lie. You're just acting out that God said it. I'm putting my faith to that because I trust God. God is saying it. I'm going to do it. I love what Pastor Tony Evans says. He says, faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. I'm going to say that again. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. Now, I want you to right now already destroy this thought bubble, okay? Because a lot of times when I would study about the shield of faith, I thought it was actually my faith, and it's not. Sometimes there's like a word of faith teaching that's not right, like you're trying to put faith in your own faith in God. You know what I'm saying? And guys, we can all fall down. Don't put faith in yourself is basically what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so faith, here's what your faith has to rest in. Because he is faithful, I can be faith-filled. But my faith is in something. It's not faith in Mark Haney. It's not faith in my faith. It's faith in God. Your faith has to be placed in somebody. That's a better way to say it. Finally came out right. Put your faith in God, not in yourself. And so faith, and here's another thing about faith. Your faith does not control God. It doesn't make God do something. A better understanding of what happens when we exhibit faith is that it gives us access to what God has already intended to do for us. Everything that Jesus did, what he did at the cross, the work is finished. We just have to put faith in that finished work. Amen. And this is the best way to see this is Paul talks about this earlier in Ephesians about faith and the shield of faith in Ephesians 2:8. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Yes. Jesus went to the cross, he has saved everybody, but they have to put their faith in that Jesus went to the cross and saved them. Everybody got that? Yes. So your faith in God is your fire extinguisher. And good faith is rooted in a good God, and faith causes the fiery arrows from the enemy to fizzle out. And I love that. All right, but I'm going to give you three things today. And so if you're taking note, here's my three different points, okay? And here's number one. And you can start each one of them with the shield of faith. The shield of faith refers to trust in God's person. I'll say that again. The shield of faith refers to trust in God's person. You have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. So the shield of faith is not your faith. The shield of faith is this, and I'm going to show you this through three different Scriptures real quick. There's lots more Scripture in the Bible. I just picked these three out about God being our shield. In Genesis 15:1, the father of our faith, Abram or Abraham, God told him, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. Everybody say, I am your shield. God is your shield. Psalm 7:10 says, my shield is God Most High. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, God is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So the shield is not our faith, but God's faithfulness. That's your shield of faith. Everybody got that? Okay. And so what you have to do is you have to start this walk of faith with God to start learning how to put your trust and your faith in God. I loved what Mark and the praise team picked out this morning was all those songs about the faith of God, putting our trust in him. And here, I'm going to give you a few things underneath. The shield of faith refers to trust in God's person. Believers learn to trust God by knowing his character. Now, the first thing the enemy's going to do, here's some of the fiery darts that he throws at you, is you can't trust God. God's a liar. God's not going to do what he said. And he's throwing these darts at you. You start doubting God, fearing, you know, the fear comes in and all these kind of things, the insecurity. I'm going to give you a scripture to put on your shield, all right? I have given this scripture out to so many people in this church, people that I know that I've come across, because this is an age-old trick of the enemy to get you to doubt God's goodness. And this is Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23:19. You need to put that one on your shield of faith, because there's going to be times when the enemy hurls those darts at you, those javelins, and he's going to try to get you to doubt God, and God does not lie. Look at somebody and say, God doesn't lie. And God does not lie. Then the second thing that happens underneath this trust in God is believers learn to trust God by knowing his promises. And the promise to heal us, the promise as a child of God. There's so many promises in the Bible, and I picked out one in the Word today because it's something that I have been doing for several years, and I have seen God's faithfulness in it to me. But one time I heard a teaching on this, and I actually heard a biblical teaching on it, not just some pastor up there trying to raise money for, you know, a building project or this or a ministry or whatever. I actually heard a teaching about tithing and giving. And I'm going to tell you something. You are never put more to the test than when you start giving your money to God. Amen? And so here's the scripture that was given to me. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. God says this. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Amen. Guys, I have been doing this, and I can tell you God has blessed us, and not just financially, but relationally, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, health, all kinds of areas that I see where God has blessed us. And I've heard so many stories of even people in our church that started doing this. And guys, you have to, and here's the key with this, you have to be faithful. Look at somebody and say, you have to be faithful. Because God's not only seeing if you're going to do it, he's going to see if you're going to be faithful in doing it. And I'm putting my tithe in this morning. And we don't make a big deal of it around here. We have the baskets up here to the front. We have a tithe and offering box at the back. But that's a way that you worship God, is through your giving. Amen. Giving of the first 10% that God's given you. And basically when you do that, then it redeems the other 90%, saves the rest of your money, basically, is what it does. And I don't know how God does it, but it works. You can't outgive God. You can't outthink God. And I know there's times you'll be sitting there looking at it and got, God, I need that money because I got this bill, I got this, I got a child in college, I got this, I got that. And God says, no, give me that first 10% and watch what I can do with the rest. Now, here's what I want to say. Because I've had people come up to me and say, well, Pastor, I tried that before. Well, you don't try it. You do it, right? You obey the Word of God. You do it. Do the Word of God. You stay faithful in doing it. Some people say, well, I tried that for a few months and it didn't work. Well, God's not a slot machine. God's not a casino. I'm looking at somebody in here and I'm not looking no more. Okay, he's not a casino. God is... God's not a casino. God's not a slot machine. You've got to stay faithful in doing this, and whenever God sees your faithfulness, he'll come to you and be faithful to you. It's a test both ways. But I've seen God do so many things through that. And if you want more teaching on that, I can give it to you, because some people, everybody tries to find a loophole in it and say, well, that's not New Testament. Yes, it is. You know, it's in the Old Testament. Yes, it's before the Old Testament. It's before the law. I mean, I can give you all kinds of great teaching on tithing. But I can tell you this, guys, nothing's going to test your faith more than doing that and keeping your shield of faith up. All right, here's the next thing. Believers learn to trust God by faithfully walking with Him. So that's what I was saying. You got to be faithful in doing it and walking it out all the time. All right, here's number two. Everybody ready for number two? Number two is the shield of faith refers to dependence on the body of Christ. I'm so glad you guys showed up to church this morning, because we need each other. Whether you realize it or not, I know we're all tired and full of turkey in here today, all right? But whether you realize it or not, we're all receiving strength from one another as we sit here and worship God and hear His word today. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Look at somebody and say, you're a part of it. We're all a part of it. How many of you have seen the movie Gladiator? Oh, yeah, I love that movie. I love Russell Crowe in Gladiator. And I don't know if you remember the scene, but whenever they were out in that Coliseum and they're fixing to fight, and Russell Crowe plays the part of that Roman legionnaire, you know, he used to lead guys in battle, and he looks at all of them, and they recognize who he is, and he looks at all of them, and he said, guys, we have a better chance of survival if we work together. And so they listened to him, and they worked together, and I don't know if you remember, but they all had those shields, and they made a turtle out there in the middle of the deal, and they won that battle, and it's pretty awesome. And so, guys, I want to tell you that go back to the turtle power. Turtle power. And I know some of you aren't, but I'm looking out here and I see a lot of couples in here. And I can tell you, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I enjoy helping marriages get through tough spots and things like that. But I can tell you something, the most important thing that you can do together as a couple is start praying together over what's going on in your life. In your life, you know, in your marriage, in your family. And there's something about when, and I don't want you to forget this. Every time you pray together as a couple, that's turtle power.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Look at your spouse right now and say, we're gonna have turtle power. Turtle power. All right. I've watched all kinds of shows about this and different teams, guys. There was a documentary I watched here not too long ago about Navy SEALs and what they do to break them down. And there's a method behind it all, because they break them down until they start learning how to work together as a team and not individually. And it's really powerful when they start really working together as a team and not just by themselves in the situation. And that's what God wants us to do in the body of Christ. There's going to be days when you come in here, there's days when I come in here that we don't feel strong in the faith, because there's been different things that's happened to us during that week, and that's where we need each other. We're dependent upon the body of Christ, so that I can have a brother or sister come along my side and hold up their shield of faith in front of me and help me out, because I'm too weak to pick mine up. That's why we need each other. And here's the deal. We're not perfect, guys. There is no army, no team that's ever been perfect. But we've got to overlook each other's flaws and work together. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you have noticed your spouse has flaws? Okay. But you still work together, right?
Yes.
Jason's back here going, I don't have any. All right. But that's that turtle power, and we all need that. All right, here's number three. The shield of faith refers to living a life of faith, a life of serving God. And it's every day we have to have that shield of faith. And to never get involved, guys, in church, to use your spiritual gifts or build others up means to not use the shield of faith. You need to use your shield of faith. There's no better place to use it than right here in the house of God. And then using it in your families and using it at work and all those things. And I want to show you something in the Word, because I was like, I want to find something in the Word of God that will be an example to us. And this is in closing today. that'll be an example to us of somebody that took up their shield of faith so that you can actually see it in the Word and what it looks like. And this is in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and then also verse 11 that we're going to read. And it says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, which was Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking," okay, that we realize Peter heard this whole message, whatever Jesus was teaching that day. It says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" All right, and I want you to know that the Bible before that just said that they had just been out there all night fishing. They didn't catch anything. They had just cleaned up all their nets. And then that's when Jesus showed up on the scene. "Hey, guys, can we use your boat? Push out here a little bit. Use this as my microphone this morning because I'm teaching this message." And Simon answered to him in verse 5, and he says, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Now, these guys were experienced fishermen. They knew what they were doing. But I love this, and this is where he took up his shield of faith, Peter. It says, "Because you say so." Sometimes you just need to do it because God said so. You need to go against every doubt that you have, every fear, every unbelief, and you just say, "I'm going to do it because God said so." He says, "I'm going to let down my nets." And so when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And in verse 7 says, "So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them." And I want to tell you something, your faith will always affect other people. Yes. It will, for the good or the bad, your faith or your unbelief. And it says, "And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink." And verse 11 says, "So they pulled their boats up on the shore, they left everything, and they followed him." They picked up their shield of faith, and they continued following the Lord. And that's what God wants you to do in your life. There's something that God's telling you to do today, and you need to do it just because he said so. It don't make sense because you've done all kinds of things yourself in the past. "I've done this, I've done that." God, you know, you've got all these excuses, but God's telling you to do something, and I want to encourage you today to do it, to take up your shield of faith and follow him. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And the greatest thing that can happen here today is that when you take up the shield of faith is putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate, taking up your shield of faith. And then every day, living by faith. And if you have never done that, I want to lead you in a simple prayer today of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved today, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And because I believe what the Word says in Romans 10 that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved." We're all whosoever's here this morning. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen." I want everybody to look at me for just a second, and I'm going to have Mark is going to come and dismiss us today. But I know this was, you know, simple, short message today, the shield of faith. And but guys, it's every day picking up that shield and following him and doing that next step of obedience, whatever he's telling you to do. And I want to encourage you because I know there's some here that need to be water baptized. And you know, some people have told me, "Well, Pastor, you know, I don't need to do that to get to heaven." No, you don't. You don't. All you have to do is know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But here as you're walking this out, the just shall live by faith, that your next step of obedience and following the Lord is to follow him in water baptism. And so there's something, we can fill up this water baptistry by next Sunday, and it's heated, it's lovely, so we used to do it in cold water tanks. That's your next step that you need to do, and to do that. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It took me two times. I did it once when I was 9, and then once at the age, I think it was 23 at the time. And so if you've never done that, get with me, because I would love to have the honor of baptizing you if you've never done that. Or maybe you did do it and it was when you was a child or whatever and you feel like, hey, I need to do that again. We can do that as well. But that's your next step of obedience, of taking up your shield of faith and following the Lord, is to do that. There's just something very spiritual that happens in those waters. And everybody that's ever done it, say amen.
Amen.
There really is. And so I encourage you to do that. And I want to thank somebody that, because I'm looking back there and seeing Travis, because just want y'all to know this, because I forget to share this, but Travis is taking our messages and putting them on our website at hfchurch.com. So if you ever miss a Sunday, you can go back and hear the message from that Sunday. You can also go to churchesaid.com and actually watch the service. So we have avenues to actually watch the service and to hear the service. And so I want to make sure that you guys know about that, and you can spread the word about that as well. And in fact, let's give our Church's Aid audience a big hand clap this morning. Because Mark's ran the numbers several times, and it seems like we have, on average, about 50 unique computers that tune in every Sunday. So that's pretty neat that we have that. But Mark, come on up here. I'm going to have Mark come, and he's going to dismiss us this morning.
Everybody stand up with me for a moment. I just had one thing that when Pastor Mark was preaching there, it's so relatable. Amen. Who can relate to that word today? I know I can. There's a couple questions that come to mind. Who does not have their shield raised right now? I'm going to raise my hand. I'm in conviction. Amen. But I'm going to go one step further. God said, Mark, sometimes we just completely leave our shield on the ground. Yeah. Amen. We got to get honest with ourselves, right? And I'm sitting there, my testimony myself today would be, sometimes I just leave mine on the ground and just say, it's not fair, God. Because we want it our way, don't we? It's got to be my way, Lord. And I just felt that just resonate in my heart today, that someone needs to hear that. Because right now, how many of us at times make a conscious effort just to leave it on the ground? Amen. So the first thing that God would want today, wow, that's powerful. The first thing that God would want today for us to get real with ourselves about where our faith really stands. And man and ourselves are in what God's word says. And that was just so powerful. I know that was short and sweet, but we got to start seeing things through God's eyes and through his word. And we have got to make choices outside of what the world's telling you right now. Amen. In Jesus' name. And that's what it spoke to me. Mark, pick up your shield and do what my word says. Because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He won't either, guys. That's good. Wow. Sometimes it's simple, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to obey. Sometimes we just need to have faith. That would be the key. Okay, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to close, speak a blessing over us. And I just know that this whole series has been great for me, amen. We all need this and we've got to get up. And I believe one thing that God has spoken to me, that it starts with the first thing I do in the morning. Pick up that shield. The first thing we get to make a choice before the enemy has an opportunity to come into our lives each day is we get a choice of what we seek first. And I've got to do better there, amen. We all can. And we get on that path. Our days go by. I know it does, guys. I know it does. And we have to say that's what my choices are going to be. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, God. And Lord, I just know I speak for us all. I just repent, Father, of my lack of faith right now in Jesus' name. Father, we stand today in a place of humility, God, a place of knowing what your word says and knowing that we just need to believe you, God, and trust you at your word. And God, just pick up the shield of faith. That's what we're going to do this week in Jesus' name. God, I pray over your people today that this word does not come back void, Father, that it is sown deep into the hearts of your people today, God. And as we leave here, Father, it's going to take root and grow. God, and you're just a good God all the time, and we're going to see our faith in action. It takes action from us, and we're going to apply it starting today in Jesus' name. We thank you for Pastor Mark. Thank you for the word. Thank you for what you're going to do between this day until we meet again as we make conscious choices, Father, to follow you today and use our shield in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll speak the blessing over today, number 6:24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Go out here with your shields held high, amen. It'll be a good week.